An MSU art history professor has spent several years learning about notable architecture in East Lansing from the middle of the 20th century. Now, Susan Bandy's work has become a coffee table book from the MSU Press. Scott Pohl talked with her about the project. What's the book called, Scott?
Mark, it's called Mid-Michigan Modern, From Frank Lloyd Wright to Googie. This project started in 2012 during the planning stages of an exhibition at Cranbrook. Later, she had students help with researching local architecture from this period in East Lansing, and she curated an exhibit at the MSU Museum. Now comes this book. On October 22nd, there will be a tour of some beautiful homes in Okemos, and we'll have a link for more information at WKAR.org. Susan Bandy's tells me that she has included Lansing and Okemos in the project so she could include nearby Frank Lloyd Wright designs.
So we already knew about the Usonian project, that was seven houses, but the other houses I kind of rediscovered. And there are some wonderful stories, and the archives at Taliesin are full of letters back and forth, and then at a certain point they just stop. So I could track down a daughter of one of the families to find out that why
they
wasn't
built.
Mm-hmm. And it turns out that Wright had designed a three-bedroom house, and she came along. So the house was too small because they had two sons and the parents' bedroom. Plus, there were some issues about the ceiling height not being high enough, you know, the typical back and forth
Frank Lloyd
with Wright
things.
Yeah. So that family didn't build their house, but a couple years later, they actually took their drawings to a local architect who built a very close copy of it.
One of the other locally prominent architects that is covered in the book is Kenneth Black.
Kenneth Black went into his father's firm. It was Lee and Kenneth Black, and his father was prominent beginning of the 20th century. And then when his father died, it became the Kenneth Black firm. He was very high up in the American Institute of Architects. There's an article I found in the New York Times quoting him. So he was quite well known during his day. And he did buildings like Lansing City Hall. He did the Lansing Public Library. He did schools. He was very active in the Michigan architecture community. I found some wonderful articles that he did for the Lansing State Journal talking about why somebody should build a modernist house, not a colonial, you know, like past eras.
You mentioned he'd done some writing for the State Journal. Is that what you wanted to refer to in a reading from your book for us?
Yes, I would. This is an article that Kenneth Black wrote in the January 1st, 1951 issue of the Lansing State Journal. He says, "I'm only going to live once, and I don't want to live my one life in an imitation of a colonial house, surrounded by imitations of antique furniture and other gadgets reminiscent of days that are long dead and gone. I want to live today's life today. I want my house and my office and my furniture to be as different from my grandfather as my car is different from his horse and buggy. Then I will feel that I am really living a contemporary life instead of simply existing in an atmosphere of phony antiquity."
The words of Kenneth Black. Now, you also write about Keck and Keck, and they're even less familiar to me than the name Kenneth Black had been.
Keck and Keck were two brothers. Their architecture firm was based in Chicago. And if you go into the northern suburbs of Chicago, Evanston, for example, there are a lot of Keck and Keck houses. They came to prominence in the Century of Progress World's Fair in Chicago in 1933. They did a model home that was all glass and none of the windows opened. So they became very well known for innovative ventilation systems. And what I found in working in the Keck and Keck papers, which are in Wisconsin, there's one house that was actually built and another house that was designed but never built. So the house that was built is right alongside the second oldest Frank Lloyd Wright house, and it too will be open on that October 22nd day. There's only one window in the entire house that opens. But as you look at the windows, you realize there's a very sophisticated louver system. So there were ways to get ventilation, air circulating around. And the couple who built that house, the Panchins, were in the original Frank Lloyd Wright project. He was a professor of forestry, and he had some arguments back and forth with Wright about the wood that he was proposing to use that Panchin didn't think would last well. So they dropped their Frank Lloyd Wright house, and they went to Keck and Keck, having seen the house, or the model house at the Century of Progress. And Lucy, the wife, was the correspondent with Keck and Keck. And she would often say that Frank Lloyd Wright wasn't responding to Mr. Bronner, but that her work with the Keck and Kecks was so easy. And come see for yourself, you know, their house is not coming along, our house is beautiful. And so a lot of this sort of jealousy. But right in that cul-de-sac in Okemos, there's the Panchin house. To the west is the Bronner Frank Lloyd Wright house. Just on the other side of the road is the third Frank Lloyd Wright house. So it's a wonderful little corner of architecture in our community.
Susan Bandes is a professor of art history at MSU. Her new book on notable Lansing area architecture from about 1940 to 1970 is called Mid-Michigan Modern, From Frank Lloyd Wright to Googie. And here's where I ask you to tell us about Googie and cite local examples.
Googie architecture takes its name from roadside attractions in Los Angeles. There was actually a diner or a drive-in that was called the Googie Diner. And it's the term that is given to very prosaic buildings, buildings that you would pass by in a car. So they had to be flashy. They had to really catch your eye. So a lot of the zigzags and boomerang forms are Googie forms. In our area, a very good example is Bell's Pizza, which used to be Dawn Donuts, and every Dawn Donuts in Michigan looked exactly the same. And there used to be one, I hear, in almost every little town. Another example is the Bigby's that's on Grand River, kind of the western edge of East Lansing. That was originally an Arby's. I think it was the fifth or sixth Arby's franchise in the country. And Arby's designed an architecture that looks like a Conestoga wagon. And the original sign on the road was a 10-gallon hat. So again, you'd sort of recognize these. You had a certain level of comfort because you knew what you would find inside.
I wanted to ask you about the way the book looks. It's a large format book, and it includes lots of beautiful drawings as well as photography.
I hired a local photographer, Kim Kaufman, who did a lot of the photography for me, and her images are great. The State Historic Preservation Office also had some images that I was able to borrow. Some of the plans or drawings for houses that weren't built I got from the Dow Archives, from Taliesin, the Frank Lloyd Wright Archives, from Harvard, the Stubbins Papers. He was the architect of Lantern Hill. Because I've been in the area for a long time, I actually knew a lot of the people who lived in these houses, and people were very willing to lend me blueprints, which I had digitized, and some people lent me photographs that they had, especially if a house was so substantially changed that I really wanted to show it in its 1950s look.
Tell me about the exhibit related to the book at the Michigan History Museum.
Currently, there is an exhibit at the Michigan History Museum that's a collaboration between the State Historic Preservation Office. Their part is about Michigan Modern. The Archives of Michigan, which received some papers by William Kessler, who's the architect of their building, also a Detroit architect, and they have some of his artwork on view. And then my section is Mid-Michigan Modern Residences. So there are three parts to the exhibition. It will stay on view through April 7th in 2017. and there'll be lots of programming related to it.
Susan Bandes directed MSU's Kresge Art Museum from 1986 to 2010. She's a professor of art history at MSU, and she's written a beautiful book from the MSU Press called Mid-Michigan Modern, From Frank Lloyd Wright to Googie. Susan Bandes, thank you.
You're welcome.
For Current State, I'm Scott Pohl.